Let us open our Bibles to the New Testament, to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6, and begin reading at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, reading to the end of the chapter. After the apostle has spoken strong words of warning against backsliding and apostasy, he writes in verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The text for this afternoon's sermon is taken from this passage, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And we'll take that together with what our Belgic Confession of Faith teaches us in Article 33 about the sacraments. Article 33, which you can find on page 21 in the back of your Psalter, about the sacraments. "We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, hath ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, and to be pledges of the good will and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which he hath joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he signifies to us by his word, and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby assuring and confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. For they are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible thing, by means whereof God worketh in us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore the signs are not in vain or insignificant, so as to deceive us. For Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment or significance. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of sacraments which Christ our Lord hath instituted, which are two only, namely, the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thus far. Dear congregation, this afternoon we are given an introduction to the sacraments. Of course, when we hear about the sacraments, then we may have some questions about the sacraments, and we may know a few things about the sacraments, but we might find the subject of the sacraments a little difficult. And we might even find that the subject of the sacraments isn't really even that relevant. But then, this afternoon, we need to see the importance of the subject of the sacraments, and let me give you three reasons why it is important, why the study of the sacraments is important. First of all, for a practical reason. People don't always have the same understanding about the sacraments. There are differences about and differences in views about the sacrament of the baptism, for instance, and of the Lord's Supper. In some evangelical churches, the sacraments are even neglected. So that gives us a practical reason to examine what does the Bible say about the sacraments and what do we believe about the sacraments. It's important for a practical reason. Secondly, it's important for a theological reason. Most of the major teachings of the Bible are really summed up in the sacraments. The main teachings of the Bible are reflected in the simple signs and seals of the holy sacraments. What do we think about God is taught in them. What we think about ourselves, what we believe about sin, and what we believe about grace, and what we believe about the person of Christ, and what do we believe about the Holy Spirit. It's all summed up, really, in the subject of the sacraments. And there is nothing like being grounded in the truth of the sacraments and in the truth of the Scriptures. So it's important for a theological reason. What do we believe about God and ourselves and about the way of salvation and every other main subject? It's treated in the sacraments. Thirdly, it's important for an experiential reason. After all, the Lord wants to strengthen the faith of His people. And for that, He uses the audible preaching of the gospel. And for that, He also uses the visible preaching in the sacraments. And the Lord wants to assure His people. He wants them to grow in faith. He wants to establish them. But then we need to know how He does that in order to profit from it. And so we see that it is important for an experiential reason, so that we can find, I miss this, or, no, the Lord has taught me about this. Well, that should be sufficient reason to show its importance. And let us therefore listen to this introduction to the sacraments. That's what you can write over the sermon, this introduction to the sacraments. We'll see four things. First of all, the provision. Secondly, the description. Thirdly, the intention. And fourthly, the operation. Introduction to the sacraments. First of all, the provision of the sacraments. Secondly, a description of the sacraments. Thirdly, the intention of the sacraments. And fourthly, the operation of the sacraments. Guido de Bra, nearing the end of the Belgian Confession of Faith, he moves from the subject of the Church, the marks of the true Church, the order in the Church, and the office bearers in the Church. He moves to speak of the sacraments in the Church. That's this article and the next two articles in which we look at baptism separately and the Lord's Supper separately. Guido de Bra will make clear in this introductory article on the sacraments that there are only two sacraments with which we Protestant Christians are content. We don't feel that we need to invent more than the Lord Jesus Himself gave to His Church, not seven, as the Roman Church teaches, the two sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, if you have a Bible dictionary and you were to look for the word sacrament in the Bible, you won't find it. Just like you won't find the word Trinity, actually, in the Bible, or the word incarnation, or the word divine. But the truth of these things are clearly taught in Scripture. Now, the word sacrament was a word that was used in the Roman army for an oath of allegiance that a Roman soldier would make. pledging allegiance to the Roman Caesar and the Roman people, giving his vow, giving his oath of faithfulness. And that's a beautiful picture of the sacraments the Lord has instituted, but then we shouldn't think of it as our oath of allegiance, but his oath of allegiance. Not pointing to our faithfulness, but to his faithfulness. The sacraments really break out into song to say, "Great is thy faithfulness." But now, why did the Lord give these sacraments? Why did he institute them? Why did he provide them to the church? And the Belgic Confession of Faith says in the opening sentence, "We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us." There's two reasons, Guido de Bresse says. Two reasons why he has provided us with the sacraments. For one thing, because of who God is. Oh, we believe that our gracious God, Guido de Bresse says. He starts out by looking at the subject of the sacrament and says we need to trace it back to him and to his grace. We believe that he is good in giving us the sacraments, gracious in giving us the sacraments, a merciful God giving us what we don't deserve, showing his kindness in ways that we have forfeited, condescending to us and displaying his grace to us. That's one reason why he has instituted it, because of who he is. Secondly, he has provided us these sacraments because of who we are. Not just because of who he is, but because of who we are. What are we? Listen to Guido de Bresse. "We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities." There you have us. There you have a description of us. Weak and infirm. Ever felt that? Weak also in comprehending the gospel. Infirm in grasping the gospel. And the word translated in our English translation of the Belgic Confession of Faith of weakness in the original means rude, or callous, or even insensitive. Guido de Bresse is saying that there is something in us that leaves us not sensitive enough to understand the things of God. We're not sensitive enough to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's this callousness in us that marks us. And the Lord knows that. I mean, he would say that to the Emmaus travelers in Luke chapter 24. "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." How slow we can be to grasp the gospel and embrace it with a believing heart. In other words, that's us. You ever felt that? God's people have. They're not always so strong. Their faith isn't always on the mountaintops. In fact, they can be very weak and ready to halt and stumble. We're like Peter sometimes, walking on the water one moment and sinking in the waves the next moment and crying out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord knows this about us. He knows this about his people. That's why he gives the visible sacraments. He knows that God's people can struggle in their faith. He knows that they can be so insensitive and callous sometimes to his word. How we can be troubled by difficulties in our heart and trials in our life, and we can't understand the ways of God, and you fall into sin again. and you slip up again, and you want it to be done with this sin in your life or that sin in your life, and you realize you're not, and you're wondering, is there forgiveness for me? I used to think that there was, but now after all that I've said and done, you remember your past sins, great sins maybe in the past, and you can't forget them. A believer can struggle with that. Am I forgiven? Am I truly forgiven? And then the Lord comes to His people and says, yes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He says to us in the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that word should be enough. And it is enough. But the Lord knows that we can continue to struggle with ongoing questions. And we wonder, but is it true for me? After all that I've done, the Lord knows this and He says, let me take you to the water in baptism to picture my forgiving mercy in water. And here's bread and wine. I want to feed you and point you to my finished work. And I want you to rest with the weight of your soul on me. That's why He has given the sacraments. Just like what He did to Abraham, who is referred to in our text in Hebrews 6. When the Lord promised to be Abram's God and to bless him, to multiply him, but Abram, in the book of Genesis, is struggling in faith at times, and God lets Abram hear His promise confirmed with an oath. Hebrews 6 verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And in a certain sense, that's what He does with the sacraments. That's what He does with the water in baptism. That's what He does with the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. The provision of the sacraments speaks of our slowness, but His goodness, our insensitivity, but His sensitivity. How thoughtless we can be. How thoughtful He is. There's our frailty, His sympathy. He shows that, doesn't He, throughout the Scriptures. With Abram, with Noah. Yes, God gave Noah too a promise. Never again will I flood this whole world. And never will I destroy the earth with a flood. Noah believed it. But the Lord also gave him a rainbow in the sky as a confirmation of that promise. And don't you think Noah needed that? Imagine that day that Noah, after the flood, again sees the dark sky gathering and the clouds coming and it's starting to rain. Don't you think there would be something in him that would fill him with terror and with dread? Because the last time it rained, the Lord flooded the earth. He destroyed the world. People drowned. And then the rainbow comes. And it reassures him. And it comforts him. Like our text, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it with an oath. And the rainbow is a blessing. It's meant to drive away fears. It's meant to assure of God's promise. And it should humble us that God has not only given us the stars to look at, as Abram could see, and the rainbow in the sky. He comes and says, here's water. And here's broken bread and poured out wine. God giving the sacraments because, mindful of our human frailty, is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, He remembers we are dust. The provision of it. Secondly, the description of it. The description of it. Yeah, what are sacraments? How do we describe them? If we listen to Guido de Bray, then, if I can put it as simply as I know how, Guido de Bray is saying that sacraments are visible signs and seals, picturing and assuring of the salvation in Christ, which He gives to His people. Visible signs and seals, picturing and assuring of the salvation in Christ, which He gives to His people. Well, let's break that down. There are signs in the sacraments. Young people, you know that. You know that there are signs on the side of the roads. Sign with a number in them, maybe, or a letter in them. I mean, if you see a blue sign with a big H in it, you know there's a hospital nearby. That big H is a sign. It pictures something. Now, that's what the sacraments do. They picture the gospel. I mean, pictures. That's what a teacher uses. Maybe a teacher in class, you can imagine that he's trying to explain something at school. He looks at the eyes of his students and he can tell that they're not really grasping it. They're sitting there full of question marks on their faces. They're not getting it. And then he goes to the blackboard or the whiteboard and he begins to draw a picture. That's what the Lord does. He uses pictures. I already mentioned the rainbow. I mentioned the stars, or let me refer you to the Old Testament Passover, that Old Testament sacrament instituted on that last night in Egypt, where a lamb was to be taken, a lamb was to be slain, and the blood was to be taken and sprinkled on the doorposts, and the family is there. And the children are wondering, what does this mean? And then mom and dad can explain it. After all, the gospel of substitution is so beautifully pictured in the Old Testament Passover, that someone has come to take our place, the Lamb of God picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the Lord uses pictures. He uses pictures in the tabernacle, pictures in the temple, pictures now in the sacrament of baptism. That's a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old sitting in church. Might say, why did the minister put water on that baby? And then mom and dad can say, well, that water is a picture. Just as water washes away dirt, so the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. And that's not just what a 3 or 4-year-old may be told, but also a teenager who may be burdened by his sins, or an older person who is troubled by his sins and is asking in his soul, can my sins be forgiven me? Then the Lord pictures it so simply and says yes. That's what Jesus has come to do. Sacraments are signs picturing the gospel. Secondly, sacraments are also seals, assuring of the gospel. They're seals, assuring of the gospel. They're seals. But boys and girls, you can maybe after church ask your parents how a seal works. I think you can still buy these kits to help you make a seal. There's some wax. You heat it up, and when it's soft, you press a ring into that seal or some other shape into that soft wax, and there's this print in the wax. A seal. It's used when young people graduate. then their diploma has a seal on it, certifying that this diploma is real. It's genuine. It's not fake. Or when you get a marriage license, it says, this is real. This is genuine. This is no imitation. That's what the Lord does in sacraments. He assures of His gospel promises to His weak people who can feel so many infirmities in their faith. It's like a wife in a marriage, a good marriage. But the wife maybe is struggling with not feeling loved by her husband. Maybe your husband loves her a lot. But she sees her own failings and her own mistakes as a wife. She looks back with shame at how she has treated her husband sometimes. That she asks, I don't know why you are so good to me. I'm sometimes afraid that you'll leave me because of what I've done, said, how I've treated you sometimes. That's what a wife may feel she deserves. And he answers her, doesn't he? My dear, I love you. The wife doesn't understand it, maybe. She doesn't feel she deserves it. She doesn't believe it. Then what does the husband do? He'll do what he can to convince her with the tokens of love. He may take his wedding band and say, this is what I said years ago. Or maybe he takes the marriage license that has his signature on it, and that those maybe a marriage 20 years ago or 40 years ago, I pledged to love you till death do us part, that can't be changed. It's sealed. That's what the Lord does with the sacraments. For he knows his people can walk in darkness and have no light. And they find that they don't serve the Lord as they wish. And the devil comes to them and says, are you a Christian? Look at you. How unfaithful you are. Look at all your sins. The Lord knows that. He knows his people are weak. He knows they're tossed with tempests and not comforted. And they ask him, Lord, show us a token for good. And the Lord comes with his word. And he comes with his sacraments. And he says, I'm underlining my word of promise. I'm highlighting it. I'm putting it in bold. Here's my promise, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. It's guaranteed. It's true. It's true for you, my child. That's how he comforts and assures his people with the sacraments. And it's a wonder, isn't it, dear people of God? These visible signs and these seals to picture and assure his people. And that brings us to our third point. What's their aim? What's the intention of the sacrament? Our third point, the intention of the sacraments. Guido de Brac gives us a threefold aim. There's a threefold purpose to the sacraments. He puts it in three short phrases. First of all, the sacraments seal unto us his promises. The sacraments seal unto us his promises. Yeah, they serve to assure us that his promise is real, his promise is true, and therefore you personally. I know people make promises all the time. We just don't always keep them. Governments who make promises don't always keep their promises either. Maybe people make promises who never intended to keep their promises. Maybe they knew that they might not be able to keep their promises, but with God it's different. In the sacraments, God comes to us with His promises. And let me say it again, His promises are real, and they're true, and they're for you. Think of that in the baptism, young people. Water was sprinkled upon your forehead. That's God promising to wash away your sin, to adopt you as His child, to sanctify your heart and life, to turn all things together for good, to bring you to heaven. Young people, that's what He promised you. You may not have asked for it, but that's what He promised you. Those are His genuine promises that He's willing to fulfill in your life. If you turn to Him in the way of faith and repentance, if you come to Him, if you trust Him, and He's willing to give you even that faith that He requires, and He's willing to give you that repentance that He demands, and those who turn to Him in faith, and those who turn to Him in repentance, whoever they are, whatever their sins may be, whatever their past may be, He receives them, and He invites them to the Lord's Supper. And there at the Lord's Supper, the Lord also makes promises. He says, I've shed my blood for you in order to forgive you your sins and to take them away and to cast them into the depths of the sea. I died for you to give you eternal life. And I want to feed you with my broken body and poured out blood by faith. There's promises in the baptism, promises in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, promises that you can plead. Our text is saying that wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel. It's an unchangeable thing. He confirmed it by an oath. There are promises to plead. What do you do with God's promises? Young people, what have you done with them? God's promise to you in baptism. God's promise to you in His Word. You have to take them back to the Lord. You have to plead them. You have to put your finger next to Him and show Him His handwriting. You said this. That's what Guido de Bray is pointing us to seal unto us His promises. Secondly, the sacraments are pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us, he says. The sacraments are pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us. In the sacraments, God is saying, I'm seeking your good. In the sacraments, He's saying, I have no pleasure in your death, but that you turn and live, that you turn to Me and live. That's encouraging. That token that says, I'm coming to you in My goodness. Here are pledges of My goodwill and grace. That's encouraging, especially when your eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit that you deserve His condemnation and His just displeasure and you deserve to be cast out. When you see that you forfeited His favor, but He comes to you and says, don't despair and don't give up. You don't need to die in your sins, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how wicked your past may be, no matter how low you've sunk, no matter how long you've lived in sin, there's a way out. Turn to Me and live. That's what baptism says. And the one that turns to Him in faith and repentance finds in Christ the goodwill of God and the grace of God. And that's confirmed at the Lord's Supper. Yes, the Lord's Supper says, those who take refuge to Christ, in Christ you cannot perish. In Christ you're safe for time and eternity. The bread and wine are pledges of His goodwill and grace toward you. Here is grace full and free in Christ. The pledges of His goodwill and grace to sinners like us. From who would you like to receive a pledge, friends? What would you like that pledge to be? Would it be a pledge of $1,000? Here's a pledge from God. That's He's given to you unasked for, but He wants to give it. Yes, pledges of His goodwill and grace to sinners like us. I need that pledge, don't you? I need His promises, don't you? And they're given in the gospel and signed and sealed in the sacraments. And thirdly, Guido de Bray says, the sacraments are meant to nourish and strengthen our faith. They're meant to strengthen and nourish, to nourish and strengthen our faith. Do you see what that says about the faith of God's people? That faith which He has worked by His Holy Spirit. That faith whereby we turn to Him and lay our knee before Him and come as guilty sinners taking refuge to Him. That faith is weak. And that faith is needy. And He says that faith is sometimes struggling to stay alive. We're famished. Yes, our faith is weak. That faith is assaulted. That faith that the Lord asked for of that father of the demon-possessed boy who He brought to Jesus, asking Him to heal his son. And the disciples couldn't succeed. And Jesus says to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then He says, if someone said to me just a few weeks ago, Pastor, if it's faith I need, and I believe that it's faith that I need, then I need Him to help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, He says. Help thou my unbelief. Yes, we are weak, but He shows how to strengthen that weak faith. He directs us to Himself, and He gives visible signs of it, and He lets you see and taste that He is good. And our souls can be famished, that too. Faith is sometimes struggling to stay alive. It's been discouraged. There's been so many times in which it's been beaten down by sin and Satan. And we need fresh crumbs from the Master's table to revive our souls. And He says, in the broken bread and poured out wine, I want to nourish you with the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to nourish your famished soul. I want you to feed on the crucified Christ by faith. And if you say, oh, I don't have a hunger, well, then you don't need this strengthening, do you? And the reviving of your soul. But God's people are famished and troubled and struggling and weak. Here are means to nourish and strengthen faith. Is that the effect that they have in your life, friends? Yes, the intention. What's God's intention of it? Has it had this effect in our lives? That we've seen that promises are things for us to plead. That the pledges of God's goodness are humbling for us. That He's seeking me. He's wanting me. And that He wants to nourish that weak faith and strengthen that weak faith by His word and sacrament. Now, how does He do that? That's our last point. The operation of the sacrament. The operation of the sacrament. How do these sacraments work? How do we get the blessing of it? Do we get the blessing of it just automatically? Do we get the blessing of it just by having water sprinkled on our foreheads in baptism? No. Do we get the blessing of it just by eating bread and drinking wine? No. No. Do we get the consolation of it and the instruction of it? How do we get it? When the Lord wants to strengthen the faith of His people, how does He do that? How does He strengthen that faith in our hearts? How does He nourish the weak soul? And Guido de Brand deals with that too. And he says three things. For one thing, He works these things by the power of the Spirit. He works these things by the power of the Spirit. Yes, He speaks about the Holy Ghost. He is needed. The Spirit does this. Not the minister. And not the elders. Not your parents. Not you yourself. We need the Spirit. Without Him we can do nothing. Without Him we will receive nothing in the sacraments. That's why we hear Paul, for instance, in Ephesians 3 verse 16, praying for the Ephesians this, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He knows that the Spirit needs to effect the graces in the lives of His people, also to strengthen weak faith, to nourish the soul. We should be coming to the sacrament pleading for the Spirit. Paul says it in another place, Romans 15 verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You feel your need of the Spirit? Do you pray for the influences of the Spirit? Do you need to be enabled by the Spirit? When we're called to examine ourselves, do we ask for the Spirit to be our constant aid? When we come to the table and we're troubled and we're halting, do we ask for the grace and power of the Spirit to work this faith and strengthen this faith? Secondly, how does the Lord use the sacraments for the good of the soul, not only by the power of the Spirit, but also by means of the Word? By means of the Word. Yes, Guido de Ber highlights that. If you read it again, you'll see that he's highlighting the Word, because the sacraments, you see, do not take the place of the Word. The sacraments are not above the Word. That was the teaching of the Romish Church, that they elevated the sacraments so that they stood above the Word. But we say, no, the sacraments don't stand alone, and they don't stand above the Word. The sacraments and the Word go together. That's why on Lord's Supper Sunday, there is the Word that's preached, not just a table set. There's the preaching of the gospel in baptism, not just the water sprinkled on the head. The sacraments and words go together. The sacraments can't be understood without the Word. The sacrament indeed comes through the eye gate, but we must be informed through the ear gate. I mean, imagine if God had only set a rainbow in the sky but never told Noah the meaning. Imagine that God had set the rainbow in the sky but never told us the meaning. Then we might look in the sky and see the rainbow and say, well, that looks beautiful. But what does it mean? And people make all kinds of interpretations about the rainbow. But there's only one true understanding of the rainbow. And so the Spirit and the Word go together. That's how He comforts. That's how He feeds. That's how He strengthens faith. Haven't you had that? The sacrament of baptism has taken place. You're struggling with your sin. But the pouring of water on a child in and of itself doesn't do anything, but His Word that says, I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea does. And at the table, not just the eating of the bread, but His Word that comes to mind or that's spoken to you, that's what feeds and nourishes your soul. So not just by the power of the Spirit, also by means of the Word. And thirdly, by directing our faith to Christ. By directing our faith to Christ. Guido de Brand, he does it masterfully in this article. He is giving us really a basic introductory class on the sacraments. And he is saying, Christ is the true object presented by them. Christ is the true object presented by them. We must not just stay with the water. We must not just stay with the bread and the wine. We must lift our hearts on high to Him who is the advocate at the Father's right hand. He's the object of faith. He's the faith. He's the focus of the audible preaching and the visible preaching, so that faith is directed to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, wasn't that the point of the brazen serpent lifted up in the wilderness? That eyes of faith would look unto that brazen serpent. Wasn't that the point of the Passover, so that we would be directed with eyes of faith to the Passover lamb which God had provided, so that John, coming as the New Testament priest, saying, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Faith is being directed. Faith is being called for. That goes out to Him. That's the point of baptism. That's the point of the Lord's Supper. Maybe I can use an illustration from the Bible. It's the point of the sacraments is like the disciples with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses was there. Elijah was there. Two, those great prophets of the Old Testament. And you remember what Peter said there on that occasion about wanting to stay there and about building three tents, three tabernacles for them. And then the Father spoke. And He took Moses away. And He took Elijah away. And the disciples are left with none save Jesus only. That's it. That's what we need. I know we want to bring something commendable to the Lord. You've been trying to do that, maybe. But it won't do. It reminds me of someone who summed up his Christian experience this way, and it's been quite a few years ago, so I don't remember exactly what he said. But he said something like this. He spoke of himself in the Christian life in four stages or so. He says, at first I thought I had to bring something to the Lord. It was all about me. I tried. I did my best. I was hoping in the best that I had done. But when I saw that didn't work, and I heard of the Lord Jesus and His salvation, then it was no longer me, but it was me and Jesus. But when I realized that He was far greater and far better than me, I realized that it had to be switched. It couldn't be me and Jesus, it had to be Jesus and me. But the Spirit had to do more stripping work in me, till it was Jesus only. Not me and Jesus. Not even Jesus and me. But Jesus only. Is that how it's gone in your life? Is that your experience? Is that how you've come to the table of the Lord? Yes, so discouraged. You'd want to be something. You wanted to be a me Christian. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I've done. You realized it couldn't. And it became me and Jesus. And no, that wasn't right either. It had to be Jesus first and me. And no, I couldn't even be part of it. It has to be Jesus only. And I come hoping in His mercy and trusting in His grace. And my unconverted friend, why wouldn't you want that? Then you have a way to live and die happily if it's Jesus only in your life. Jesus only in the preaching. Jesus only in the sacraments. Why wouldn't you ask for that? Why wouldn't you plead His promises? in which he says, I want to be your God and Savior. And I mean you. And I signed and sealed it in holy baptism. Young people, can't you plead his promises? Can't you ask him to fulfill it? For it would be dreadful to hear the promises and to have them signed and sealed to you and to perish with them when you didn't need to perish. And the water in baptism will not cool the fires of hell, but will make hell more unbearable than if you'd ever had your forehead baptized. Turn to him. Plead with him. Come to him. And don't rest till you're left hoping in Jesus only. That's the aim of the word and the sacrament. Yes, left with Jesus only. And then he alone receives the glory. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing and gracious Lord, how low dost thou not come, condescending to us in our weakness and infirmity, even our insensitivity and dullness to picture the gospel and to assure thy people of thy promise. Lord, wilt thou make us busy with the promises and keep us busy with them, because it's the only thing that cannot lie. Our hearts even are deceitful and desperately wicked, but thy word doesn't lie. Wilt thou bless the instruction in the preaching of the gospel audibly, and in the preaching of the gospel visibly, as a congregation when we may witness it, and grant that we would be humbled. So apply thy word unto our hearts. Forgive our sins. Remember us in this week that lies before us. Help us in our tasks, in our family life, in our struggles. And prepare us to meet thee through the Prince and Savior of life, who saves unto the uttermost, who gives abundant life, who shows the abundant certainty of his promise. So secure us by that word and through that Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.